Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In this chapter, Paul exhorts the Corinthians not to judge him and not to judge one another, because everything would be reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ. He also exhorts the Corinthians not to boast about their spiritual gifts, because everything we have received. And finally, Paul exhorts the Corinthians to remember that the cross comes before the crown. We will reign with Christ someday, but right now we are called on to suffer reproach for the sake of Christ. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, with some background notes. We've seen in our studies of 1 Corinthians thus far that the church at Corinth was not a perfect church. That's why a study of this letter is very appropriate for today and for any time, because no church is perfect. It's often been said that if you ever find the perfect church, don't join it. Why make it imperfect? In chapter 3, Paul referred to the Corinthian Christians as fleshly or carnal. They were not spiritual Christians because they were thinking and acting too much in line with the world's way of thinking and acting. Now here in chapter 4, Paul exhorts the Corinthian believers about three different areas where they were carnal and worldly in their thinking and actions, and where they needed to get their lives more in line with the truth and a biblical worldview. Each of these three areas is covered under one of our three doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, everything we do will be reviewed, so don't judge now. Everything we do will be reviewed, so don't judge now. In the first five verses that we just read, we see that if we are thinking in line with the Bible, we will recognize that we are all servants of Christ, and ultimately we all will answer to Christ. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. That is, we are responsible to care for the truth that God has revealed. The world does not have this truth, and the world does not care for this truth. But we have this truth, and we have a responsibility to be faithful in caring for this truth in whatever role the Lord has given us. So let's not spend our time judging one another, but rather let us spend our time being faithful in whatever the Lord has given us to do. We answer to the Lord, and He is going to review our lives at His judgment seat. This is not to determine our destiny, but our reward. Our destiny of going to heaven was determined when we became believers, but our reward is determined by our faithfulness now as believers. And every believer can be faithful. So let's not judge one another. Let's be faithful to the Lord, and keep as clear a conscience as possible in everything that we do, as Paul did, verse 4. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. At the judgment seat of Christ, everything will be brought to light, both actions and motives, and whether these actions and motives were for self-glory or for God's glory. Then everyone will receive the proper reward from the Lord, not from fellow believers. Everything we do will be reviewed, so don't judge now. Doctrinal point number two. Everything we have has been received, so don't boast now. Everything we have has been received, so don't boast now. Verses 6 and 7. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Here Paul used himself and Apollos as examples of the fact that the Corinthian Christians were wrongly picking favorite speakers and leaders, and as a result were creating divisions in the church. And some of these unnamed speakers and leaders were to be blamed for drawing undue attention to themselves. The way to correct this situation was to have the right view of the natural talents and spiritual gifts that fellow believers possess. They've all been received. No one has ever earned a natural talent or spiritual gift. They've all been given to us by God. So why do we boast about ourselves or anyone else? Just recognize and thank the Lord for the talents and gifts that He has given you and given others. This is His sovereign will. Now, you know, this doctrinal point has great application in all areas of life. If you're a natural athlete, for example, don't boast about your accomplishments, because that ability was given to you by God. You received it. If you've got a high IQ and are smarter than other folks, don't boast, because your brains were given to you by God. You didn't earn your brains, did you? They were given to you. And the same is true of spiritual gifts. What do you have that you did not receive? Answer, nothing. So stop boasting as if you attained it yourself. Everything we have has been received. So don't boast now. And doctrinal point number 3. Everything we are is being reviled. So don't reign now. Everything we are is being reviled, so don't reign now. Reign, not R-A-I-N, right? R-E-I-G-N. Verses 8 through 13. You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. In these verses, Paul uses irony to get across his point that the carnal and worldly Corinthian believers did not have the right viewpoint and lifestyle that believers should have now. But the Apostle Paul and his fellow workers did have the right viewpoint and lifestyle. The Corinthians were taking the same position that a significant number of Christians wrongly take today. For example, they say that if Christians are children of the King, then they should live and reign like children of the King. You know, this is essentially the position of the health and wealth gospel preachers today. Is this a biblical position for believers now? Not according to this scripture before us. Christians will reign with Christ in His future kingdom here on this earth, but the time of reigning is not now. Right now is the way of suffering for the sake of Christ. It may involve hunger and thirst and even homelessness in some cases. Verse 11. The cross must come before the crown. As 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. This is because the world is against Christ. And as the Lord Jesus indicated in John 15, verses 18 and 19, the world hates us because it hated Him. John 15, 18 and 19. The more committed we are to Christ, the more the world will treat us like the Apostle Paul and his fellow workers. The world will want to get rid of us. Verse 9. The world will call us fools, verse 10. The world will treat us roughly, verse 11. The world will persecute us, verse 12. The world will slander us, verse 13. Even when we bless those who hate us, we will still be reviled. 1 John 3:13 says, "Don't be surprised if the world hates you." The time for reigning with the Lord on this earth is not yet. So let's not jump the gun, as in the case of the Corinthians. Right now is the way of suffering, because we are identified with Christ and the world rejects Christ as Lord and King. Therefore, if we are committed Christians, we will bear the reproach of Christ as a way of life now. Everything we are is being reviled, so don't reign now. Now, what about further practical application? Can we say, as Paul said, imitate me? Can we say, as Paul said, imitate me? Verses 14 through 21. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? In this last section of the chapter, Paul informs the Corinthians that he had sent Timothy to them and that he would follow later. He wanted the Corinthians to understand that he loved them in the Lord as a spiritual father, verses 14 and 15. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. As their spiritual father, he wanted to come to them with love and gentleness. But because of their arrogance and carnality, he might have to come to them with a rod of discipline if they continued on in their worldly ways. And if he did have to come to them with discipline, it would be with apostolic authority and power, not just words, verses 19 through 21. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? In the meantime, if they wanted to get right with the Lord and get their lives in order, then imitate me, said the Apostle Paul, verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Now, let me ask you, could we say that? Or would we have to say, do as I say, but not as I do? What a challenge to get our own lives in order. Can we say, as Paul said, imitate me?